This is ISIS Radio.
Welcome to ISIS Radio, supported by Air Products, delivering cost-effective materials to the global electronics industry. Visit us at airproducts.com/connect.
Greetings and welcome to another crackerjack edition of ISIS Chemical Business right here on ISIS Radio. I'm Ivan Lerner, commodities editor, and we're taking a peek at the financial and M&A issue. Later in the broadcast, we'll be hearing from two of our distinguished colleagues from across the Atlantic, Bureau Chief Will Beecham and Global Editor John Baker. But right now, let's speak with Editor-in-Chief Joe Chang about the global credit crisis. Joe, the global credit crisis is hitting the economy hard. What's going to be the impact on mergers and acquisitions?
Well, Ivan, the credit crunch has cut off the lifeline of easy money, and M&A activity in the chemical industry will be off its 2007 peak. There's essentially a force majeure outage in the high-yield debt market, but financing for deals is desperately needed.
How bad is it? Len Blavatnik's Axis Industries was able to complete its $13 billion buyout of U.S.-based Lyondell Chemicals to create Lyondell Basell.
They were able to get the financing, but they had to take $8 billion in what is called interim financing to get the deal done. The problem with that? The loan stipulates that the interest rate will increase by half a percentage point over the LIBOR-based rate every 3 months, starting in May. So Lyondell Basell needs to arrange long-term financing, and fast. And that's no small task in today's credit environment. The clock is ticking.
Who's going to make these loans?
Whenever there's an absence of liquidity, there's always opportunity. Somebody, somewhere, whether they be hedge funds, pension funds, or sovereign investment funds, should be willing to step up to the plate to make these loans, and not for the sake of philanthropy. Legendary investor Warren Buffett's offer last week to provide a backstop for $800 billion in municipal bonds was not, in his own words, to get him through St. Peter's Gate. We're doing this to make money, he said.
And in Rumorville, German magazine Kapital reported that BASF was preparing to make a $4.9 billion bid for U.S. specialty chemical company Albemarle. What are you hearing about this?
Well, my sources in the financial community say this is unlikely. A BASF-Albemarle combination would certainly face antitrust scrutiny, as the combined company would have nearly 50% of the worldwide FCC market for refinery catalysts. Not only that, but the Gottwald family, founders and major shareholders of Albemarle, just sold a large chunk of its holdings to the company. Now, unless they're completely out of the loop, they would have held out instead for a BASF bid. And as one investment banker said, the Gottwalds didn't get to be billionaires by being out of the loop.
Fascinating stuff, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivan.
And now, let's hear from Global Editor John Baker and Bureau Chief Will Beecham.
Hello, I'm John Baker, Global Editor for Custom Publishing at ISIS, reporting for ISIS Radio this week. I'm talking to Will Beecham about the demise of UK specialty group ICI. His article on the subject appears in this week's ISIS Chemical Business. For those not familiar with this sorry tale, can you describe briefly what happened?
ICI was once a global power in the petrochemicals industry. By the time it was sold off to AkzoNobel this year, it had shrunk to a mid-sized specialty player. It started life in 1926, formed from four companies, and grew through the 1930s and 40s when it became very innovative and produced the first commercially viable polyethylene and other plastics. Big petrochemical expansion in the 1950s, and then in the 60s its pharmaceutical division developed beta blockers, and it began use of the old English sheepdog in its advertising campaigns. It started up its Wilton Olefins plant, big petrochemical complex in the north of England, in the 70s, and then by the 1980s it had become the first UK company to achieve £1 billion, that's $2 billion worth of pre-tax profits. Then in the 1990s and through to the 2000s, it started to divest its commodity chemicals businesses through over 50 different deals.
Will, was it in this period that it became a pure specialty player?
That's right. It was during this period that, apart from selling off its commodity businesses, it also spun off its pharmaceutical and agrochemicals divisions into Zeneca. And then in 1997, it acquired Unilever's specialty chemicals business for £4.9 billion.
And what were the key reasons for its demise?
When I was researching this article, I spoke to a lot of different people, ex-ICI employees and consultants, and really the one thing that they all agree on is that the company paid a too high a price for the Unilever business. at £4.9 billion. It was left with a huge debt burden, and it was forced to then become a distressed seller of its commodity businesses. It was also accused of pandering to shareholder pressure. There was a time when a Thatcherite businessman called Jim Hansen acquired quite a big share in the company, and he put a lot of pressure on ICI, which made it, distract its directors from the direction that they should have been taken. And then I spoke to Paul Hodges, the consultant, and he said that the company became risk-averse, that when he first started there in the 80s and 70s, they were encouraging their executives to take risks and be innovative and to make mistakes, not to worry too much. But then that whole culture changed and they became risk averse. But finally, there was one person that did kind of defend the strategy, which was the company's strategy to exit petrochemicals. And he said that the decision to exit commodity chemicals was right at the time. We couldn't compete with the emerging players, but that mistakes were made in the execution of its transformation into a specialty chemical company. So anyway, John, I see that you've been to Germany recently, to Mannheim, I believe.
Yes, I went to see Antonio Trias, the CEO of Cognis, for ISIS CEO interviews. These are a series of interviews we do each month now, both for the magazine ISIS Chemical Business and our new CEO e-newsletter.
Cognis, isn't that the private equity-owned spin-off from Henkel?
Yes, it is, but they've been independent for several years now and have established a real niche in the supply to the personal care and health and nutrition markets.
What are the main planks of their strategy?
There's two, Will. There's wellness and sustainability. Trias is tremendously enthusiastic about both of these and sees Cognis at the leading edge, with many companies trying to catch up at the moment, especially on the wellness, where we've got people like Dow, DSM, BASF, and even Cargill trying to get on board. Basically, they're producing chemicals that have health effects, but which might be delivered through creams or food or the like. They've developed things that go into yogurts that can reduce cellulite or make the skin feel smoother. Or they've developed combined pills and creams that can help suntan and protect you against cholesterol. The other plank is the sustainability. Over half of their feedstocks now come from oleochemicals, renewable feedstocks from things like palm oil and vegetable oils. And again, this is a real selling point for the future, with customers wanting products that they can sell into the retail stream. So it's a very interesting review of Cognis. The article, I think, will give you a big insight into how a niche company can make a real impact.
Thank you very much, Will and John. And that's it for another edition of ISIS Chemical Business right here on ISIS Radio. You can always tune in by going to ISIS.com. Thanks for listening, and make sure to stay tuned for lots more. Good night.
You have been listening to ISIS Radio, sponsored by Air Products, supporting a new way of thinking and learning about our industry. Visit us at airproducts.com/connect.
The contents of this recording are copyright Reed Business Information and all rights are reserved. We hope you enjoyed listening, and please listen again. Contact me by email at simon.robinson@isis.com.
This is ISIS Radio.